Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and I am coming to you live right now over two platforms, over CSNP, that's Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. So that's the audio podcast part, and I'm continuing my explorations with doing Facebook Live streaming. I'm on my back porch in my home in the forest in southwestern Wisconsin. Indeed, behind me you can see a bit of Circle Sanctuary. That land borders the one that I live in with my husband Dennis. Tonight we are continuing our series, Align with the Divine, Divine Alignments. Tonight we take a look at nature spirits. Part of the reason for having my location be here on my back porch, it seemed to make the most sense to be in a place where nature spirits can be visible and audible. So from time to time, you might hear some of the birds from the forest piping in, and you might have other sounds of the forest. It may be insects and breezes. We never quite know, which makes it magic. So we begin by honoring the nature spirits of this land. We honor the creatures. We honor the trees, the shrubs, the ferns, all the herbs and other green ones. We honor the land, the rocks, the soil. We honor the interconnecting force that is the spirit that connects us all together. We honor the spirit of place. We honor sacred stones. We honor nature spirits in all their forms. We call to you. We honor you. We celebrate you. And tonight I'm going to share about you on this workshop. I'd like to begin talking about animism. Animism is the philosophy that regards a spiritual component of all things, not just those things that would be considered animate, plants and creatures, including humankind, but objects. My sistrum has a spirit. It has the spirit of the metal that makes the clackers and the spirit of the wood that is its handle. So the idea that all things have a spiritual dimension, have a spirit, is quite old. In fact, many people who look at the history of religion with humankind see that animism, animistic philosophy, is the oldest philosophy. It goes back to the mist of time, the beginning of humankind emerging. Animism, we have animism continuing to be a form of spiritual expression today. And one of the things that connects contemporary paganism, Wicca, Druidry, heathenism, and other forms of nature spirituality and nature religion today with old forms of nature ways has to do with this common worldview of animism. So with animism, we not only recognize that there is a spirit in all things, but that we have the ability to communicate, to connect, to form relationship. We've talked about aligning with the divine and how many different forms can be with divine alignments. We've talked about divinities in the forms of goddesses and gods and other divine forces. And last week we talked about the elementals, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit in many traditions. Well, tonight we're going to continue that exploration and recognize that nature spirits are all around us in our lives. This is whether you live in a rural location such as myself, or suburban, or small town, or urban, or metropolitan area, that nature is below us, above us, before us, behind us. It's all around us, and we are part of this great interconnected web of life and nature. And we can form relationships with particular dimensions of nature, different spirit beings with nature, spiritual forms of nature. Plants. I have some wild bee balm. It's a prairie plant in many places. It likes meadows, and this is the wild bee balm, Monarda fistulosa, for those of you who like the science names as well. And this is one of my favorite plants of summer, and I honor the spirit of this bee balm plant, and I honor the spirit of bee balm as a whole. Indeed, connecting with the green realm gives you a variety of ways of connecting with nature spirits. I'm in an oak forest. Most of the trees are different types of oak. And in the oak forest, there are a variety of trees of different sizes and ages and types to form relationship with. For myself, I have particular trees that I've had strong connections with. There's a particular white oak not too far from here, and a black oak and a red oak that are quite old. And I especially like old oaks. Some of the old oaks that we have here are between 150 and 200 years old, even older. They actually date back to when this land was less inhabited by humans. There were native peoples that made this part of Wisconsin their home. We know that some of the native peoples are known as the Ho-Chunk. The French called them Winnebago, but the Ho-Chunk have taken back their original name in the language of their people. Want to honor that. We are really close to an ancient Ho-Chunk holy place. In fact, it's a state park. It is called Blue Mound State Park. And I honor not only the land here, but I honor the connections of other humans with this land and with the oaks and with the various plants, with the soil, with the creatures. Indeed, I also honor the spirits of the old peoples that were once on this land. And next week when we talk about community and group spirit, I will talk more about working with ancient ones and with ancestors and with community of family and home and spiritual community, neighborhood. So there's different ways of aligning with the divine, and when we connect with land, when we connect with plants, we connect with creatures and what you might call minerals, sacred stones, metals. We are connecting with nature in a very broad way. So I'd like to guide some experiences tonight as part of this new workshop on Align with Divine Nature Spirits. And so I invite you in the next few moments of quiet, if you are able to do so, to find a place where you can be comfortable and not disturbed. If you have other things going on in the background, I invite you to turn those off for now. Silence them, shut the door if you're inside, or if you're outside, go to a place where you aren't overhearing other conversation, if you can do that. And so take a few moments and just relax yourself, because we're going to take a journey into the green world. The green world, which is another name for working with vegetation and the spiritual forms of vegetation. Taking some deep, slow breaths. Shaking your body a bit if you need to get any kinks out. If you need to move around a little bit to get more comfortable, go ahead and do that. Connect with the sacred according to your own tradition. If you have a particular sacred name that you work with as part of your own practice, you can honor other divine forms right now. Blessing on you and on this journey. And then in the next few moments, imagine the color green swirling around you. Different shades, different textures, and as you imagine that green around you, start getting a sense of different plants, different types of plants, that are all in that beautiful green realm around you. Experience yourself as being part of that green realm. Honor your connection with the green realm as a whole and with green beings in particular. And now in the next few moments, as you continue to resonate with the green realm, invite a tree spirit to be with you, to connect with you. This might come in the form of an image of a type of tree or a particular tree. You might see a leaf or bark. You might have a tree experience from your past. Connect with tree for a few moments. And then as you envision and experience a tree with you, with a spiritual resonance and radiance and emanating from it, as you gaze at the form that the tree is taking, you start to see a face form in leaves, bark. There may be several faces and energies. Let the tree spirit come to you in a way that works for you and for the tree spirit. Let your imagination and your spiritual meditation connect you now with that tree, that spirit of the tree, and invite the tree spirit to give you a word, a phrase, a symbol that you can reflect on now and work with later. Give thanks to the tree spirit, and as it moves back into the beautiful green, ever-changing realm around you, you invite an herb of some type to make itself known to you. If you have different herb plants that start popping up in your mind, kind of review them and get a sense of the one that is the strongest or has the most intense connection for you. Get a sense of which of those you're going to work with in the next few moments. And as you connect with this particular kind of herb, invite the herb spirit to give you a sense of it across time, across cultures, getting a sense of how this particular type of herb has been connected with humans from other times and other places. And invite the herb plant to give you a message about some special way you can work with the plant as part of your spiritual practice to strengthen your relationship with this plant, if it's an existing one, to cultivate the relationship if this is a new connection, to deepen your resonance, understanding of this particular herb spirit. And then give thanks to this herb spirit and give thanks to the green realm that is around you. Reflecting on your experience with the tree spirit and with the herb spirit and with the green realm as a whole. In the next few moments of quiet, as you bring closure to your meditation, do your own personal honoring of the green world and of the spirits of plants that already are in your life, the herb and the tree spirits you've worked with now, and the green beings that are yet to come and make your acquaintance, and you, they. Give thanks to the green realm. Give thanks to the tree. Give thanks to the herb. And as you orient here to the here and now, should you wish to do so, those of you who are watching this on Facebook live stream at my Selena Fox update stage, I invite you to share the name of the tree, if you wish, the name of the herb, if you wish, or some other message about your experience with either of them or both and the green world as a whole. And after our podcast is complete, I'll be taking a look at all the comments that have been expressed. And if you have questions, feel free to put some of that in the chat. So we honor the realm of plants, the green realm, and one of the ways that nature spirits of the green realm have been depicted is what is known as the green ones, green men, green women, green gods, green goddesses, go by many different names. But the idea of gazing into a plant and getting a sense of its own unique life force and spirit, something very ancient, and in human art and imagination, in lore, in songs, in movies, in paintings, the green ones have been depicted in a variety of different ways. Being able to recognize that the green ones can make contact with humans, not necessarily taking on a face to help humans grasp that concept, but sometimes the green ones take the form of a presence. Indeed, I think a powerful way of strengthening your connections with the green realm and with nature spirits that are plant spirits is prior to you interacting with them, if you're a gardener or you're a forager or a farmer, or you just happen to like certain plants, whether you cultivate, nurture, and harvest yourself. Before you engage in those activities, take a few moments and silently, or if you're in a place where you can do so, speak out loud or sing, honor the plants. Honor the plants as a whole, honor plants in particular. One of the things that I do as part of my harvest work is if I'm going to go and gather a particular kind of herb from the wild, I will get prepared for it. I'll spend a few moments even before I depart and call to that particular spirit of that type of plant and ask for its guidance. Then when I arrive at the place where the harvesting is happening and the hunting for these wild plants might be, I do another prayer honoring and invite the spirit of that particular type of plant to guide me in the harvest. Usually shortly after that, I will come to one of the plants, but the first plant I see, I do not harvest that. That's a tradition that I have developed myself, and as I've shared that with others, I have learned that other herbalists also have that tradition. And I suspect it's something quite old. So I honor the first plant that I see of the particular kind of plant I'm harvesting, and then connect with it, but I don't harvest it. And then shortly after that, I start seeing the plant all over the place, which is wonderful. Indeed, when I harvested the wild bee balm recently, I used that very technique. Once one is done with the harvest, it is customary to give thanks and to give offering. Now, the offering can be a verbal thanks. You can sing. You can do a prayer. If you have water, most plants appreciate water, especially if it's been dry out and they need a drink. Or some people will take a coin or a little crystal or some herbal blend and place it at the base of either the first plant that one has seen, which is the spirit plant guardian, I often call it that, or to put it at, if it's a whole area where the plants are, to put it right in that area where you've been harvesting. And then once you are done with the harvest, then it's really important that you care for those plants. Even though they no longer are attached to the ground, there's still life force in them. So work with the plants, care for them. If you're going to use them fresh, use them fresh. Or if you're going to dry them, make sure you take care of that rather than just letting them lounge around in the sun or whatever. You want to keep the quality of it, and you want to continue to honor your relationship with that plant by being able to work with it in a good way. Not only if you're using it as part of a food preparation, or you're going to make a tea that you will consume, or you might use it for some kind of other spiritual work, such as a house blessing charm. I think a powerful way of working with plant spirits as nature spirits is to make time at least once a month where you spend time with your herbs. You may have different dried herbs in an herb cabinet, review them, connect with them, and you may want to do meditation with a particular herb, whether it's alive, or whether it's in a dried form or some kind of preparation form. The particular way that I do nature spirit work is I prefer to work with the nature spirits in their living form, and part of the reason for doing this podcast outside on my back porch is so that the spirits of all these oak trees and other trees and the creatures around and the other plants, and I have gardens not too far away, are all here. Indeed, I find myself being very humbled as I go out into the woods to go and commune with nature. I'm a human, but I'm not superior to the plants. I am part of a living system, and I invite relationship with plants. And how that works is through communion, meditation, imagination, transformation. We honor the green realm of plants. If you haven't already started your own personal plant journal, you may find that to be really helpful to note the kind of work that you do with the different types of nature spirits. And as you develop your own rituals and chants and meditations, to make a record of that and have that all in one place. One of the things I like to do is have a spiral notebook. Yes, it's kind of old school with a pen, but what I like about it is I'm not dependent on electricity in order to set down my chants and meditations, and I can be out on a rock out in the forest somewhere, way away from anything electrical, and be able to connect in that way. In addition to nature spirits that are the green beings, the vegetation spirits, the plant spirits, creatures, or what some people would call animal spirits. Animal spirits can take a lot of different forms. And most forms of animism that are out and about today, in today's world, do have some connection with creatures besides humans. Indeed, in ancient times, different groups of people may have some creature that they have a very close relationship with, family group or village community, tribal community. And often that creature was one that was in relations with the humans and providing some type of thing that sustains human life. So the deer, for example, some ancient peoples in this area would hunt deer, and I know not everybody is a meat eater, but hear me out, because we're all descended from carnivores, essentially. You know, back in the ancient times, I mean, that's part of what the diet is. As we move into the future, I do think it's good to expand our plant-based diet options so that we're less hard as a species on planet Earth. But with the deer, if it is hunted, then that deer is honored before the life is taken, and all of the parts of the deer are used in some way, returned to nature, the skin might be used for clothing, and indeed, some of the peoples would see that the deer, there'd be a deer clan. A number of people in the Americas, indigenous people, first peoples, Native Americans, American Indians, a lot of different names for how to talk about the old peoples, the first peoples of the Americas. According to family lore, I have my roots. I'm a mixed ancestry and have some Native ancestry, supposedly from the mountains of Virginia. Still trying to sort that out. The records in Virginia with racial designation got changed in the 20s, so it's kind of hard to figure that out. But I'm convinced that spirit will help. And indeed, my Native ancestry, according to family lore, is from my fox family. And is the fox something that was used in a similar way amongst the Irish, amongst people from old Europe? Quite possibly. Certain groups of people would have creatures that were connected with the group as a whole. Those of us in the United States of America have a creature that's a symbol of our country. It is the eagle, the bald eagle. Now, Benjamin Franklin, when America was in the process of forming itself into a nation, actually made some arguments that we ought to have the wild turkey, since it was a bird that was commonplace back in those times. And indeed, we have wild turkeys out here in our forest where I live, and it's really amazing to get to see them. And occasionally we'll see a bald eagle go overhead. So people would have relationships with the spirits of animals. They might not call it spirits of animals, but essentially you are looking at the spiritual essence of a whole type of animal. So while it might be the deer or the bear or the turtle or the gray goose or the heron or the raven or the fox or the cat, whole variety of different creatures. And you will hear in the background some of the creatures I have particular connections with, not so much a family connection, a totem connection, but a personal creature connection. You'll hear some red-headed woodpeckers out here. Not only are they beautiful birds, but they have wonderful sounds. So one of the great things about living in a forest, it gives an opportunity to develop relationships with particular kinds of creatures. I'm not talking about domesticating them, but being able to interact, to learn their habits, to learn their sounds, their movements, to connect with their ways of being. So in terms of working with creature spirits, you can work with a spirit that is for a whole people, a nation, or a family grouping. My father's mother's side, her surname, Tung, one of the family symbols passed down from old England into that family line, is the symbol of the raven being connected with that particular line. And on another line on my father's side, which is the Thomas line, also had ravens connected with it. I have some Scottish ancestry that's connected with the wild boar. And so depending on your family grouping, your heritage, there might be a creature connected with a place that you have ancestors from, and there might be something even in a family name, such as my name, Fox. But I think one of the most powerful ways of developing a creature connection is with an individual one-on-one relationship. And here, the realm of nature spirits and creature spirits and animal spirits expands to include what is known in the craft as familiars. And certainly witch lore across time has some mythic dimensions, and some of the use of the word familiar was used actually as a weapon to persecute people for their witchy beliefs, pagan beliefs. But in talking about familiars, many people have one or more creatures living in their household. Might be a cat, might be a dog, or a bird, or a ferret, or a goldfish, or some other creature. And by having a creature as part of your family unit, as part of your household, you have the opportunity not only to have a personal connection with that particular being, but through that resonance and through that connection, you can come to learn the type of the spirit of that particular type of creature. For myself, I've had a lot of contact over the years with animals. And early on in my priestess life, the first group, ongoing group, that I was priestess of happened to have the cat goddess Bast as its form of divine honoring. And so we certainly honored a variety of forms of the divine, but our primary form of divinity was the cat. So yes, different creatures might be forms of particular divinities, gods and goddesses and other divine forms, but when you're working with various animal spirits, creature spirits, you might find some old ways of depicting sacred creatures and be able to work with that in your own practice. Early on, during my own work, with the beginnings of group magic, I was the high priestess of a ceremonial magical lodge with some Golden Dawn underpinnings, and we studied Egyptian magic as part of our work. Well, as I started being priestess of this group and started working with Bast, I found this not only strengthened my connection with that goddess form, but with the cats that were in my life. And one of the things that I have kept in my home since my young priestess days is a Bast altar. And at that altar, I honor the cat spirit. I honor the cat spirit in a very global way. So in addition to domesticated cats that are part of many households, I honor all types of felines, lions and tigers and leopards and lynxes, jaguars, you know, really large cats, and small cats, and cats of many types. When I do work, prayers for preserving endangered species of cats, I do that at my Bast altar. For while I'm working with other forms of the feline divine, clearly Bast can be a representation of all things cat. And of course, for those of you who have dogs and you're looking for a dog spirit image, Anubis in the ancient Egyptian religion, the jackal-headed god, was something that some people today have used as, I guess, comparable to me working with the Bast image. So in talking about creature spirits, there's the creature spirit of actual creatures that are part of your life, that are part of your support system, and you part of their support system. Then we have the spirits of particular types of creatures, and then we have creature spirits that actually are there for whole groups of humans. I'd like to guide you in a short creature spirit experience tonight, if you'd like to do that. And I see that comments are coming through on the Facebook Live. So I invite those of you who would like to do this to find a comfortable place to be, relax yourself, and this is a short creature spirit journey. Taking some deep, slow breaths, centering yourself, honoring the sacred according to your own path, and then allowing yourself to relax even more fully. And we're going to take a journey with our imagination. Imagine that you're glowing with a sphere of radiant light, the light of a star, that kind of that brilliance that has all the colors of the rainbow balanced with that kind of radiance right here on Earth. And as you are in that image, see what answer comes to you, rises up in your mind in response to this question. If I could change myself into a creature for an hour to have that experience, what creature would I choose? Pay attention to what rises up in your mind. And once you have a sense of a particular kind of creature that you could explore, transform into, I invite you in the next few minutes to imagine yourself being with a creature of that type, seeing it before you, and then in a way that works for you and the creature, you merge, you become one, attuned to that creature spirit by being one with it. Pay attention to what rises up in your mind as you are merged with the creature. Let a word, a phrase, a symbol come to you that is a power of that creature that you can connect with. And if it feels right to do so, spend a few moments as that creature resonating with that quality, with that power. then give thanks to the creature that you've been working with as you experience yourself being in a total human form again and have the experience of the creature before you. Give thanks. And if it feels appropriate to do so, invite that creature spirit to connect with you again in a dream tonight, in a meditation, in coming days, to have some other connection with you where you have an opportunity to spend more time getting to know each other and deepening relationships. And so as you feel complete with that and return to a more here and now consciousness, call to mind the whole realm of creatures here on planet Earth, and call to mind creatures that you've experienced, you've seen face to face or in cyberspace, some kind of preserve or out in the wild, and then call to mind the particular creature that you spent a few moments with. And recognize that as part of your spiritual practice and aligning with nature spirits, that you have the opportunity to be in tune and to align and develop relationships with a variety of different creatures. Give thanks to the creatures, great and small, that are here on planet Earth, and may they live well, be well, and may humankind be in harmony with the realm of creatures and the spirits of creatures. So now I'm going to just talk a little bit about creature symbols. You might have an image of a creature, or you might get a gift from a creature. I totally resonate with cats, with foxes, but I have this thing about birds, and I find it to be really a powerful message from connecting with the realm of birds when, as I'm walking in the forest, I happen to see a feather. But the same kind of thing can apply to other forms of nature spirits. Indeed, here is an oak wand. I had this branch on the path that I was walking on in a forest many years ago, and I chose to use this and to turn it into a wand for working. It's an oak branch, and I have some gold here to connect with the power of oak and the sun. In addition to the green realm and the realm of creatures, it's also possible to have relationships with other beings. Rocks. Here's a particular rock that I happen to encounter on one of my walks through the woods. I don't assume, because I see a rock and it intrigues me, that that rock really should go back with me. So just as I honor plants before I harvest them and endeavor to resonate and connect with them, and I also endeavor to honor and connect with animal spirits, creature spirits, same way with rock spirits. As I was growing up, and this is back in the 1960s and 1970s, there was a thing known as pet rocks, which way before that became a fad, I had pet rocks. I had certain rocks that I would find as I was outside playing and had get a sense that they wanted to go in the house with me. So I have right here an example of a large rock, which has this beautiful red ochre naturally occurring color in it. And so this is a rock that connects me with ochre as a particular mineral. And so when I talk about rocks, I not only talk about actual rocks like this, but minerals and metals and semi-precious stones. I have this particular one that's a little iron, has some iron oxide in it. It's a nodule that I found as I was doing ritual one day. Here is an example of citrine. It is kind of in a more raw form. And a year ago, summer solstice, we had a whole basket full of this particular kind of sacred stone, citrine, that we energize as part of our main summer solstice ritual. So as I was preparing for tonight, the citrine called to me, and this particular one, and what will I do with this? And now that I've had this connection, meditate with it. If I get a sense that I may want to use it as an offering to the land, it may work that way, or it may sit on my altar. Indeed, I work with a number of different sacred stones. Quartz is something that I work with in a lot of my divine alignment activities, not only connecting it with spirit, but in terms of it being a stone that has had a long history with helping humans with their spiritual practices and explorations. Well, before concluding tonight, I'd like to also talk about the importance of spirit of place as a kind of nature spirit. Whether you're out in the country or in urban or suburban or small town area, you have the opportunity, should you choose to do so, to connect with that region, to connect specifically with the property that you are dwelling at, whether you are an apartment dweller, whether you are a homeowner, in a condo, whatever, that you don't actually have to be the physical owner of that land to have a relationship with it. One of the things that some find helpful in moving to a new place is to have a place in the home. It might be that main household altar, or it might be outdoors, or both. I actually have both. A place where you honor the spirit of the land, develop a relationship with that land spirit. You may want to name your home, and in so doing, you have a way of honoring the structure part that is your home, to honor the inhabitants of the structure that is your home, and to honor the spirit of place upon which you're making your home. One of the things that can be really powerful in a city is to learn about the history of the particular neighborhood, building, structure, wherever one is. In more urban areas, you tend to have more information. Public libraries have some of those records up online, and you can certainly look in local history with some local libraries and museums. You can do the actual research, but you can also reach out to the spirit of the land and place, honor it, and invite it to guide you to some understandings about it. Indeed, part of my own way of coming to know about the ancient ones that once dwelled on this land, and my land is where I live. My husband and I have a piece of land that adjoins Circle Sanctuary that is just down the hill a bit, right at the edge of the screen for those looking at this live stream. And I found as I walked the land and honored the land, messages from the land came to me, including I was guided to some ancient Native people's holy places. And shortly after being guided to those places, I connected with somebody who was researching those places to preserve them, to document and preserve them. And after connecting with that person, I connected with people who had ancestry with some of the ancient ones that were once in this area. And I do not see that as just an accident or a coincidence. I actually see it as part of that developing of relationship with spirit of place. How do you strengthen the connection with spirit of place? An offering to the land. It might be water, milk, juice, alcohol of some kind. It might be some grain offering, something you've prepared, some food offering. It might be creating a spot that you use as a focal point for paying your respects, doing libations, doing honorings. I do think as we strengthen our connections with the spirit of place, we not only have that as a harmonizing influence in our personal lives, but the spirit of place connection can actually help us connect with the creature spirits, the plant spirits, and the rock spirits that are all part of that area. Thank you all for being part of this Nature Spirits workshop. I conclude by a thanksgiving. We give thanks to this place and to the spirits of places that we honor and commune with. I give thanks to the green world, to the trees, to the herbs, to the nature spirits that are plants. I give thanks to the creatures, the spirits of creatures. I give thanks to the spirits of rocks and metals and minerals and sacred stones. And I give thanks to all of you who have been joining this podcast live, and to all of you who will be joining later. Nature spirits, we call to you. We honor you. We thank you. Continue to aid us in helping us be in good relation with you all and the greater circle of nature of which we are all part. So mote it be. Special thanks to David and Jeanette Ewing, Circle Sanctuary Ministers from Northern Virginia, to Deborah Rose, Circle Sanctuary Minister in Kentucky, to Laura Gonzalez, Circle Sanctuary Minister in Training, who helps us with the CSNP podcast page on Facebook, as well as also does podcasting, and to Circle Sanctuary Minister from Colorado, Casey Pope, coordinates our social media. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in live and who'll be watching later. And for more information about Circle Sanctuary, you can find us on the web, CircleSanctuary.org. You can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, Circle Sanctuary Community, on Instagram, Circle Sanctuary, on YouTube. Lots of different YouTube videos up there. And you can find out more about me, Selena Fox, at my YouTube channel and my Instagram and Twitter, Selena_Fox, and Selena Fox Updates page. If you want to be in touch by email, you can write me, Selena@CircleSanctuary.org. Well, be sure to check out our other podcasts. We've had a variety of wonderful podcasts this month and in the past, and we have some great ones coming up. For a full list of all of our podcasts, go to our Circle Sanctuary website under the CSNP section, and you will see an outline and a schedule of all our upcoming shows. And I also invite you to consider being part of Circle Sanctuary's monthly e-bulletin. You can sign up for that. It's free. It'll let you know about our podcast and other things that we're doing, including our next online festival, Lunasa Lamas. We call it the Green Spirit Festival. This year in 2020, it will be Saturday, August 1st. I'll be doing a new Lunasa and Lamas celebrations workshop, guiding some experiences and sharing some lore. And there'll be a variety of other things happening that day. It's free to Circle Sanctuary members. So if you're interested in being a member, there's information up at the Circle Sanctuary website. And we're inviting others who aren't members to contribute $10 to help Circle Sanctuary, which makes all these podcasts and other things we do possible, to help nurture us through this pandemic time. Well, stay safe. Be well and align with divine. So be it.
You can say your prayers, work your rites, burn your little candle day and night. You can shimmy till dawn to the pounding drums, but you best be ready when the horn one comes, yeah. If you wake to the sound of a hunting horn, you dance a ring in the gathering storm. If the solstice time gets your panties in a wad, just the coming of the horn god. He will call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. So revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Hey. Hunter who tracks outside of time, guardian lord of ancient rhyme. Brother stag in the musky glen, consort of the goddess in a woodland den. We call you forth as we make our way, walking in your power every day. Guide us through in our hunt this night, and maybe even later in the great rite. He will call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. So revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Heartbeat. that when the horn one comes, he's gonna call you out, make you sweat, give you a blessing that you'll never forget. Revel in the chase and let your heartbeat run. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Blessed are the children of the horned one. Blessed are the children of the horned one.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.